My mother used to tell me a lot, and maybe your mother said this to you as well, you need an attitude adjustment. I would often hear this when I was being a brat to my little sister or disrespecting an adult. The threat of it was enough to set me straight right away, before my parents had to do it for me, because I didn't even want to think of how they would adjust my attitude. I remember thinking as a kid, I don't know what it is, but it sounds terrible. It meant that whatever fun I was having had to end. Now, the Holy Spirit, who has brought us to faith in Jesus Christ, has given us an attitude adjustment. And this is not as painful as those attitude adjustments that come from our parents. It happened at our baptism. And it's God's glorious attitude adjustment. Is an attitude of prayer, love, service, and praise. So we read from 1 Peter 4, verses 7 through 11. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The end times began when Jesus ascended into heaven, and he told us that he would return in glory, but he did not tell us when. In fact, he told no one, not even the angels. So Scripture is full of warnings that we be prepared for his coming. For instance, 1 Thessalonians 5:2. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. That picture of a thief works. Everyone understands the idea of preparing for a thief. We all lock our doors, whether on our house or our car, even though we know the chances of us getting hit by a robber are pretty slim. Now, sometimes you might take a chance and not lock your door, thinking, well, I won't get hit. And you might get away with it. But no one has an excuse for not being ready on Judgment Day. Because if you knew that every house in the city was going to be hit today, wouldn't you prepare? Jesus has taught us to pray so that we do not fall into temptation. And Jesus is our mediator who takes our prayers to the Father. To be in direct communication with the Father strengthens us and gives us comfort in the end times. Prayers help us remain patient as we wait for the Lord's coming. And we need that patience because Satan is always tempting us to be impatient. Peter said, the end is near. But Peter wrote that over almost 2,000 years ago. And Jesus in Revelation tells us, behold, I am coming soon. But what does soon mean? These doubts are unfounded. Who are we to say what is soon to the eternal God? Is it not better to take comfort in God's promise that he has called us from eternity? So prayer strengthens our hope that Jesus is coming soon. Then there's the second aspect of our glorious attitude adjustment, and that's one of love. The attitude of love is based on the sincere love that the Holy Spirit has given us as one of our greatest spiritual gifts. Therefore, Paul warns us that if there's any grumbling, love is seriously lacking. And we hear a lot of grumbling, don't we? We do a lot of grumbling. Do you grumble as you go through the motions of being nice, even though you feel some people aren't worth it? Is there favoritism in your love? Do you use love to get ahead? Dear friends, remember the standard of love that we are to follow. Remember the love of Jesus, so great that he laid his life down for you and I, his lowly friends. When all the world was loveless, Jesus loved all the world. As active as His love is, so should ours be. With God's glorious attitude adjustment, we don't just feel love, we do it. And in addition to prayer and love, the Holy Spirit has given all Christians a wide variety of gifts. Our attitude concerning these should be one of service. Peter here lists just two of those gifts, but they're gifts that are common among all believers. The first is speaking the oracles of God. Every Christian has been given the ability to do that. We speak what we know from Scripture. Think of how much the Bible has influenced the way we speak to one another, our fellow Christians, and to the unchurched world as well. The second gift is connected to any other spiritual gift that you care to mention. It is one that every Christian has to varying degrees. It is the gift of service. So in verse 11 he says, "If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies." All Christians are called to serve. God's glorious attitude adjustment spurs us on to use whatever gifts we have been given to serve in the church. Every gift of the Holy Spirit is ready-made for that purpose. God does not give damaged gifts. They are all perfect. So He tells us to use them with an attitude of prayer, love, service, and praise. Therefore, they are not to be used to further oneself in the world, but to further the church that Jesus bought with His own blood. Encourage your brethren. Let your light shine in the world. None of what Paul says in these verses would be possible at all without God first calling us by the gospel. The new man's first reaction to God's amazing grace is one of thanks and praise. And so, in our glorious attitude adjustment from God, we give all glory to Him in constant praise. No one deserves praise and glory except the triune God, because He has done all things. History is the story of God's incredible love for sinners. We deserve only God's rightful hatred, but He sent His Son to bear God's wrath in our place. And by His wounds, we have been adjusted from death to life. And so we lift songs of praise as another way to further the church. There is much work to be done, and there are many still unprepared for the end times. Praise can be such a powerful tool for witnessing. Think of Paul and Silas in Philippi. When they were imprisoned, they knew that they were surrounded by many people who had never heard the gospel. So while they sat in chains, they began praying and singing hymns to God. And we're told that the others listened. Paul also urges us in Ephesians to continue in singing in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. So keep praising God boastfully, for you never know who is listening. What a turnaround God has brought about in all of us. Every time I managed to shape up after my parents threatened me with an attitude adjustment, it wasn't nearly as great a turnaround as what God has done to us. When otherwise we would have looked to ourselves to work our way out of trouble, Jesus has taught us to pray for all we need. When we would only love ourselves and hate others, God has given us hearts of love, fashioned after the love of His Son. And without the Holy Spirit's spiritual gifts, we could do nothing worthwhile for God. But the Holy Spirit has given us useful and perfect gifts that strengthen the church. And finally, where we would join the world in only singing our own praises, God has directed our eyes of faith to our Savior, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We'll sing hymn 446, verses 1 and 5.